From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you later this hour. Next hour, conversations with roving reporter Linda Moulton Howe. While the severe geomagnetic storm bombarding the Earth on Thursday expected to disrupt radio, television, cell phone communications worldwide, and it could face that airlines reroute some of their directions, especially over the North Pole. And we had reports today that some power unexpectedly went out in different areas around the country. The power grid operators will have to make sure their systems do not overload from what is called induced current, and satellites in close Earth orbits will need to have their positions constantly monitored as the atmosphere expands from the additional heat and frictional drag increases. Man, that was a big one, an X3 flare blasting its way to the planet. Now, over the years, Richard C. Hoagland has said things about NASA that they have been withholding information from us. He has, in some cases, been scoffed at, ridiculed. People have said, you're crazy for saying this. I'm going to read you a story and bring Richard C. Hoagland in. NASA/JPL internal memo, hold order. NASA Inspector General investigation of censorship. This is basically what they're saying. Caltech, it's a university, recently was notified by NASA that the NASA Office of Inspector General, at the congressional request, is conducting an investigation into allegations of censorship of scientific information at NASA. As a result, Caltech/JPL must retain any government documents related to the matters identified below. And we'll talk about those in a second. The email constitutes a hold order regarding these documents and is being sent to those individuals who we believe may have had dealings with NASA with respect to NASA practices or policies, past or current. And listen to this now. Affecting dissemination of scientific information to the public. On the line with us, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, what the heck does that mean, holding back information?
Well, this is a very interesting development because it's basically affirming what we have said on this show and on the Enterprise website for many, many years, that your space agency is not leveling with you. Now, what we don't know tonight is the breadth of this hold order. We don't know the missions covered. We do know the people. The people are listed at the bottom of the memo, and it starts with Dr. Charles Alachi, who was the head of JPL, and goes down through people like Dan McLeese and Tom Prince and Paul Dumasis and Eric Antonissen. I mean, these are all key people high in the hierarchy of JPL who have managed missions, everything from missions to Saturn, to Jupiter, to Mars, for the past several decades. So tonight, all we know is that the Inspector General, on the prompting from the Congress, and I have a feeling this has to do with the changing of the guard because of the election. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has come out very strongly in the last couple of days and said that the new Congress, which is democratically controlled, is going to launch several major investigations into this administration and the handling of all kinds of things. And so this memo revealing, I mean, this is from December 5th, George. We just got it, you know, today.
Yes.
But in fact, it was communicated over a week ago, is probably, to use a certain phrase, the tip of the iceberg.
It is an incredible story, Richard, that you brought to us today. And more importantly, what the heck have they been withholding from us?
Well, I can tell you one thing that is bothering me intensely, and a lot of my colleagues at Enterprise Mission. The new MRO images, these extraordinary, incredible, high-resolution, absolutely knock-your-socks-off images of Mars that have been coming in the last several weeks, are now encoded in a format that makes it almost impossible for the average enthusiast or amateur to download them from the NASA websites. You have to get hold of something called JPEG 2000, which is a specialized program, a very high-end program, very expensive. And when you go to the JPL Planetary Photo Journal, which is the kind of archiving source for all the planetary images from all over the solar system for the last couple of decades, you find that what they have done is to take browser screenshots as GIFs of the JPEG 2000 imagery and uploaded them in certain select public relations releases. And when you go in, George, and try to work with the image, you find that you can't. You basically only can magnify the pixels that are there. You can't do what's called oversampling or adjusting grayscales or anything. So you can't, in essence, get down to the resolution of the image. They have put a very clever, very sophisticated sensor on the MRO images that doesn't allow you to go beyond a certain point. And that, of course, is very inflammatory to those of us that are trying to find out what's on Mars.
I mean, it is almost as if NASA has been holding back the things you've been talking about on this program and on the EnterpriseMission.com website for years. Some of these documents that they've talked about in the hold, documents received to or sent to NASA with respect to dissemination of scientific information to the public. That's us. Documents received from or sent to NASA about complaints or allegations of wrongdoing of NASA practices. Documents received from or sent to NASA referring to application of policies of dissemination of information to us. I mean, for example, my mind's been going crazy since you told me about this. I mean, I could see a memo that says, we can't handle the truth about extraterrestrials, therefore, don't tell them. That could be one of the documents.
It certainly could. In fact, many years ago, there was a congressional investigation launched by, I forget who the congressman was, into the NASA Lewis Research Center, a research center where I was invited to speak on the Cydonia subject several times. And the congressman was looking into the background to a nuclear reactor, the SNAP 100 program, that was looked at as a possible way to actually power a mission to Mars. And what he found as part of his investigation was a set of NASA memos out of NASA Lewis from the office of the director instructing employees of NASA Lewis on how to confuse FOIA requests, how to mix up files, how to number things non-sequentially, how to avoid congressional inquiries. I mean, it was a how-to manual for how to circumvent the law on openness and scientific dissemination. And this investigation now from the NASA Inspector General seems very eerily similar to that pattern of deception that was found many decades ago, a couple decades ago.
Well, I want to tell you, Richard, how proud I am of you, of Art Bell, of this program for collectively sticking your necks out to talk about things that nobody goes. And, you know, once again, and you know, as we talked about last week about the report of water on Mars, once again, it appears that you've been vindicated when people, and you've had people scoff at you. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, what are they going to say now?
It depends on what the investigation turns up. What I'm hoping will not happen is that people will say, oh, my God, that's a great story, and then go on to the next great story.
Yeah.
This needs to be followed up. We need to, with this program and this audience, need to follow up. We need to get our MRO campaign in order, and I will privately talk to you about what we need to do on that in the next, you know, few weeks. The time now is not to let up. The time now is not to, you know, get busy with the holidays and all the other stuff. The time is to focus on this and the extraordinary evidence that we have presented that's on the Enterprise website and is presented at these conferences, and some of which you saw at the Joshua Tree conference, that shows that our space agency has been sitting on extraordinary information, George. Absolutely mind-blowing, that changes everything, as that old commercial used to say. And finally now, maybe the legal dogs have caught up with it, and we're about to get some official confirmation of what we've been saying all these years.
Richard, I'm sure you've got a lot of this information posted on the EnterpriseMission.com
website. We certainly
do. All right, my friend. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay.
That's Richard C. Hoagland. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's been saying for years that NASA's been holding back information from us. As you know, scientists have come on the program. They've chastised Richard. They've laughed at Richard. And here it is in black and white. We don't know what the information is. We just know that apparently they've been doing it. Well, those of you, by the way, if you want to go outside before dawn, take a look at the Geminid meteor shower. The Geminids are a very reliable annual display. They peak into the pre-dawn hours. For those of you with dark, clear skies out there, this dazzling display could produce up to 120 meteors per hour. This is unbelievable. The Geminids are bits of debris cast off by a strange asteroid-like object that scientists think might be a burned-out comet. So if you want to go outside, wherever you may be, go ahead and see if you can take a look at it, because if you've never seen a shooting star, as I like to call them, you're missing something. Well, we've got open lines for you, and let me give you the numbers, and I'm going to come back with more stories after the break. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is 818-501-4109. We'll come back with open line calls, the rest of the news items, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we'll go to your calls in just a moment. First, though, the FBI has sent out a bulletin to state and local law enforcement warning of possible terrorist reprisals as the health of an incarcerated terror mastermind fails. Although the FBI said there's no credible indication that a plan for retribution is in place, the agency sent the warning as Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman was treated in Missouri for bleeding. He's in grave condition. The blind sheikh, as he is called, who was the alleged architect of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, has called it for revenge should he die in U.S. custody, which appears it's going to happen quite imminently. Peter Lantz will be our guest in a few minutes, as we'll talk briefly about this situation. And Peter has asked that you go to his website, which is peterlantz.com, where he has a whole bunch of timeline information for you to look at before we chat with him about this story. An official United Kingdom police inquiry into the Paris car crash, which killed Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed, has found no evidence of murder. Lord Stevens, who led the three-year investigation, said the 1997 crash was a tragic accident. The inquiry report said the chauffeur, Andre Paul, who also died, was speeding and over the legal drink drive limit. Spokesperson, though, for Mr. Al-Fayed's father said he does not accept the findings and questions remain unanswered. The interesting part of all this is pedestrians and their drivers reported seeing a white Fiat Uno crash into the Mercedes containing Diana and Dodi as their car entered the tunnel in Paris. Traces of white paint were found on the wrecked Mercedes, and part of a bumper and taillight were found nearby. But despite a huge database search of over 100,000 cars, the car and driver were never found. However, the French photographer James Addison, who had been stalking Dodi and Diana, owned a white Fiat Uno. This was sold and repainted a few days after the crash. Interesting. And like Andre Paul, he was also being paid by the British Secret Service, apparently. He said he had not been in Paris that night, but he could not be questioned again. Why? Because 3 years later, the burned remains of his body were found in an abandoned car in the south of France. As you know, we prayed a few days after Barbaro, the Kentucky Derby winner, broke his leg in the Preakness, and it looked like he was going to be put down. Listen to this story. Barbaro has been such a model patient. The surgeon caring for the Kentucky Derby winner said the colt could be released from the hospital in the not-so-distant future. But Dean Richardson, the chief surgeon at the University of Pennsylvania's New Bolton Center, declined to offer a timetable for the release. He simply says his injuries were life-threatening. I'm very optimistic. The horse is still making good progress. He's got an appetite, great vital signs, blood work are good, and the horse's coat looks beautiful. Hey, the power of consciousness and prayer, right? There's an individual in Wisconsin by the wet name. His name is Rick Lisco. He hunts deer with a bow, but he got his most unusual one driving his truck down a mile-long driveway. He ran into a seven-legged deer. Strange. I mean, with both female and male reproductive organs. And what did he do after he hit it and killed it? He ate it. The long arms of the world's tallest man reached in and saved two dolphins in China by pulling out plastic from their stomachs. Apparently, they were nibbling on plastic from the edge of their pool at an aquarium. Vets couldn't get the plastic out, so they asked for help from the 7-foot-9-inch herdsman from Inner Mongolia. This guy has 42-inch arms, and he reached down into the mouths of the dolphins and pulled out the plastic. And they are now okay. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Jeff from Ferguson, Missouri.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Pretty good. Just got done with being in the loop.
Ah, the loop on the University City.
Yeah, got a special screening of the Galactica Fall finale.
Oh, did you like it?
Oh, yeah. It was real good.
That's good. What's up? What's going on?
I wanted to ask questions regarding Alex Jones' New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And globalist. I was contacted by email of a group claiming to be resistance to that.
Resistance to the New World Order?
Yeah, an organized resistance.
What do they want you to do? Join?
Yeah.
Are you going to?
I don't know. When groups by email like that, it's kind of questionable. You can't check up on them or anything like that.
I agree with that, Josh. I would not join groups like that unless you were really privy to who and what they do. Thanks. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is David from Highland, New York.
Hey, David.
Hi, I've been listening to you for years, and I love your program.
Well, thank you. What's going on?
Two questions I had for you. One was, did you know about the end of the reed with the Mayan calendar?
The end of the reed?
Yeah, I read, like, when I listened to your program, I heard about it, and I looked it up on the internet, and I found an article a guy wrote about how at the end of, it's almost like the Mayan millennium kind of thing.
Well, I know about the end of, you know, the 2012 date. As a matter of fact, next week, December 21st, we're going to have Steve Alton on talking about the Mayan calendar and that end date. It's only going to be 5 years away.
Yeah, I know. But what I had read was at the end of the first read, they were expecting...
6 years away.
At the end of the first read back a long time ago, whenever Cortez showed up, they thought he was their god, and that's why he was able to destroy their civilization so quickly.
No. Okay, I'll check into that.
Yeah, and whatever the 2012 is the end of the second read, so whatever's going to happen then, hopefully it's something good.
I hope so.
And the other question I had was, can you see the meteor shower in the northeast?
Oh, you should be able to. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Just go after, it's already after midnight for you, so from midnight to pre-dawn, you should be able to see these. 120 an hour. Don't miss it.
I haven't seen any yet.
Bring a portable radio out there, though. Don't miss the show. That's the only requirement.
No problem.
Okay. Appreciate you being on the program. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, George, this is Jim, listening from KEX in Portland, Oregon.
Sure, Jim. Hi.
Some months ago, you had a program about a young man having nightmares. I believe a young man was from Louisiana, about going down in flames in an airplane. And every time he would see an airplane that turned out to be an F-4U, he would say, "That's my plane." What was the outcome of that? I lost track of that particular story.
That was a little boy, where his parents claim that he was a World War II pilot, and they're convinced he's reincarnated because he had visions of things that you just described, of going down in a plane crash, of seeing battles, and it's incredible. It really is. No new updates to that. I mean, nobody has tested the lad, and however, we are thinking of doing a major show on reincarnation, and we are working on trying to get the parents of that little boy on, maybe even get the little boy on as well. We're going to be back in a moment. We're going to have open lines for the rest of this hour. However, we're going to take a couple minutes out of the block to talk to Peter Lance. He's getting off a plane as we speak, but this story about the blind sheik is so important. and the possibilities of what could happen when he dies. I want to get Peter Luntz's take. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We're going to take your open line phone calls in just a moment, but we are into our floating format with our guest, Peter Luntz, who's at an airport walking around with his cell phone. We've just caught up with him. He's the author of the new book, Triple Cross. He's been on the program numerous times. Peter, this incredible story here about the blind sheik that you've talked about on the program so much, looks like he is gravely ill, and the FBI seems to be a little concerned that when he goes, something could happen. What do you hear?
As they should be, George. When he was arrested in effectively 1993, Abdel Sattar, who was his U.S. representative, was recently convicted with Lynn Stewart. He predicted that there would be violence, and there was immediate violence in other parts of the world relating to the Sheikh. He is the hot circuit cable that runs from, you know, the Calverton surveillance in 1989 all the way through 9/11. He's the spiritual icon of bin Laden and al-Zawahiri. He is beloved in the radical Islamic world, and when he goes, there's no doubt that there'll be some kind of violence.
So because I don't think he's getting any visitors, why don't we just not tell anybody that he's died?
Well, you know, that's, you know, he's so closely watched by the Al-Qaeda leadership. I mean, you know, one of the things you're in, you know, I think, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I have that timeline that I have on my
website. Yeah, I did. I mentioned that.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
That timeline shows, George, that in 1996, they got word through this Ramzi Youssef Scarpa thing that there was going to be a plot to hijack a plane to free him. That same warning showed up in the presidential daily briefing to Clinton in 98 and to Bush in Crawford, Texas of 01. And a week before 9/11, the Taliban offered to exchange him for the Christian aid workers being held. So this is how beloved this guy was and is. The coal bombing was done in his name. The African embassy bombings were done in his name. The Luxor massacre, as we've talked about, the vicious 1997, was done in his name. So he is right at the top. He's kind of like the Pope of Islam, of radical Islam.
How in the heck did we let him come into the country?
We let him come into the country, ironically, George, because he helped us during the Afghan war. And this is one of the, listen to this, there's a guy named Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, H-E-K-M-A-T-Y-R. He was one of the warlords at the time we were fighting the Soviets, and he was one of the conduits of U.S. aid. You're hearing, I'm in the baggage area at Santa Barbara Airport. So
okay.
Anyway, Hekmatyar was the guy that helped to funnel some of the CIA covert money to the Mujahideen. Well, guess what? So the Sheikh was kind of given payback for his help against the Soviets, and he was allowed to slip past the watch list, as was Ali Muhammad, the subject of my new book, Triple Cross. So the Sheikh gets in, and immediately, as you recall, took over this mosque, had this guy Shalabi murdered, an Egyptian that ran the mosque in Brooklyn. And long story short, you know, the blind Sheikh was the center of the original World Trade Center bombing plot. And today, guess where Hekmatyar is? Hekmatyar is now allied with the Taliban. The whole thing has come full circle.
Unbelievable.
With Mullah Omar's resurgence. I mean, so it just shows you the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Why do these people turn on us after we help them? I don't understand.
I think the biggest, the saddest problem, they don't have any allegiance to any country. Their allegiance is to their radical interpretation of the Quran and to Allah. And, you know, Ali Muhammad said, and this is a stunning, chilling part of my new book, at Fort Bragg, he actually gave a training tape, you know, because he was at Fort Bragg. You and I should, we'll get together another night and get into that.
Right. But
at Fort Bragg, here's what he said, George. There are two states of Islam, Dar ul Harb and Dar ul Islam. Dar ul Harb is any country that does not have an Islamic government, and Dar ul Islam is a country like Iran that does. He says, it is the responsibility of every Muslim, even if it means violence, to make sure that the government changes from Dar ul Harb to Dar ul Islam. So their alliance is to a spiritual goal that goes beyond national guidelines. So, they, you know, there's no loyalty. There's no fealty to any given country. Ali Muhammad was a naturalized U.S. citizen. He betrayed this country multiple times. And the same with the blind sheikh, you know. I guess, the answer to your question.
And the blind sheikh, he's gravely ill. To me, that sounds like he's days away from passing on. What's going to happen? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that Well, you know, the plot last summer in August was a mirror image of the Bojinka plot, the plot to blow up airliners over the Pacific. They even talked about acetone peroxide. And if you remember that note from Youssef, how to smuggle explosives onto aircraft, that's on my website, peterlance.com.
Right.
That note talks about acetone peroxide. So what I'm getting at is the FBI has had these warnings for a decade, and you know how they lie in wait. What do? They didn't knock the towers down in 93. They knocked them down in 01. They tried to blow up the USS Sullivan's with an inflatable with a bomb. It sunk. Then they got the coal. They're patient. They wait. And they're waiting for the next big one, believe me.
So you,
go ahead.
So you think, though, the Sheikh's possible death will be some kind of catalyst for something else?
I think if they have anything enormous planned, that will be the quintessential symbolic moment for them to try it.
All right, Peter, go get your luggage. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you, George. You're the best.
That's Peter Luntz at the Santa Barbara Airport, where he just got off a plane. When I'm back in just a second, we'll finish the hour with open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. How ironic, Peter at the airport walking around with his cell phone talking about terrorism. Some overzealous security guard will hear him, not know what he's doing, and jump him. So get out of there, Peter. Hey, by the way, never mind how careful you are behind the wheel or how long you've been driving, the signs of the zodiac may be the bigger factors behind your ability to avoid car crashes. According to a study by InsuranceHotline.com, which is a website that quotes drivers on insurance rates, astrological signs are a significant factor in predicting car accidents. A study looked at 100,000 North American driving records from the past 6 years. They put Libras, those born between September 23 and October 22, followed by Aquarians, January 20th to Feb 18, as the worst offenders for tickets and accidents. Leos, July 23 to August 22nd, and then Geminis, May 21 through June 20, which I am and Art is, found to be the best overall. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, and where are you calling from?
Illinois.
Well, hi.
I have been trying.
You have a voice deeper than mine.
Smokers.
You're Sylvia Brown, aren't you?
Yeah, no.
Evelyn Paglini, the great witch, the white witch.
Sheila. My question is this.
Yes.
About 4 months ago on your program, you talked to a gentleman that had invented a generator that operated on a half a teaspoon of water. He had two sizes. One would retail for approximately $2,700. The bigger one was $3,000-something, he estimated. And he had a contract, first time, with Home Depot.
Yeah, that was an open-line phone call from someone who said he heard or knows of that guy, that gentleman, that inventor. We called Home Depot the following Monday, because that was a Friday night, and they either are holding back the information or they're simply telling us that this thing is not real because they didn't know what we were talking about.
I was at Home Depot today.
Don't tell me it's in the store.
No.
Oh.
And I talked to the man on the floor, and I said, by the way, he said he had never heard about it. I said, you work in this store. You have a computer right there. You could probably find out if there's anything going on with this. He said, you're right. I probably could. And he said, boy, would I like to have one.
I would. I'd get one.
Oh, George, I'm telling you, I thought this man that called in was the man because you had said to him, be careful.
Uh-huh.
And he said he was protected. He had gotten a patent on it. And it would appear first at Home Depot.
Yeah, he might have been a partner, but it's not out yet.
And then also, as long as we're on the same subject, whatever happened to those, there were two different people. After the hurricane down in Louisiana.
Oh, they tried to get officials down there to allow them to recycle.
That's it.
Yeah, and they did not pick up their deal. So I think they've left that area.
How horrible.
It's a shame. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, wow. You said something about the Northern Lights. I was wondering more about that. Can I see them from
Yeah, well, the Northern Lights you're going to be able to see tonight if you're in the right area, and you should be. Those are caused by this huge coronal mass ejection that occurred on a couple days ago. So, yeah, go take a look at those. But the Geminids that I'm talking about, the meteor shower, you should be able to see those as well. But I'm getting emails from people who are seeing this incredible Northern Light burst, all kinds of colors, and that's because of this incredible thing that's going on with the sun. Let's go to our east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Chris from O'Fallon, Missouri.
Hey, Chris. Welcome.
Thank you. Actually, the guy you were just talking to about the meteor showers, that's what I want to know. What direction should I look in tonight to see them?
I think they're going to be going, they may be going from west to east, so just look out that way, but they should be all over the place.
Okay, and actually I got another question for you. I was just thinking about me and my friends were having a conversation of, we were talking about people, like, because as human beings we only use a small fraction of our brain.
Right.
And, like, there's been movies out there where people have used more of their brain, you know, and they have special powers. Do you believe that there is somebody out there, or there are people out there that use, you know, 50 to 100% of their brains that can have telepathic powers, or, you know, telepathy, or, you know, telekinetic powers?
Not 50%, but maybe 20%, maybe more than most people. I think people like Einstein and others had the usage of their brain much higher than most of us. But yes, definitely, there are some people out there who are more psychically inclined, who can do some incredible things. I think they're using more of their brain power, but not quite 50%. I think if we had the ability to use 50% of our brain power, we would be bigger than the biggest computer. I really do.
Really? I mean, do you think there's people out there that can actually move objects with their
yes,
mind?
Yes, absolutely.
And read? What about reading people's thoughts?
Oh, sure. I think they're there. Absolutely. You know, if you've ever played a little mind game with somebody you've known for a long time, play a little numbers game with them where you try to transmit a number to them and they have to guess the number you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. And you really got to do it quickly. You can't think about it, because if you do, it doesn't work. You will be amazed at how often you and the other person get this right.
Really?
It is amazing. Yeah, you can do that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, International Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hello, you. Where are
My
you?
My name is Ruth.
Hello, Ruth.
I live in Winnipeg.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you the little white buffalo.
Yeah.
He lives.
He does?
He's born.
That's now Native American legend, if a little white buffalo
and
is
I've
seen.
Been trying so long to get through to tell you about it. He was born last year in Montana in the middle of a snowstorm, so they called him Blizzard.
Is he alive and well now?
He's alive. The farmer who had him realized he couldn't keep him there in the farm, and so they secreted him and brought him to Winnipeg, and he's in our zoo here in Winnipeg, and he was raised and fed and taken care of and presented finally when it was warm enough in the spring to bring him out, and he was shown for the first time on June the 6th. To the public, and the write-ups were there, and he's still here. And you're in St. Louis all the time, and you're only about an hour's airplane flight from Winnipeg.
I had to go out there and see this guy.
And you can come up and see for yourself.
It's prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And a lot of the elders and the tribes have been here in full regalia, and they've done their rituals and their dances and their songs, and they keep coming, and then they go again. But he's here.
Okay, great.
And he's almost a year old.
Hey, get us a picture of the guy, a little thing.
I tried to send them to you, and they sent them all back.
Oh,
I'll tell you what.
What do you mean they sent? Who sent them back? not our people.
Well, I didn't have the right address.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You mean the computer.
But you can get all this.
I can?
If you write or get on your computer or whatever and ask the Winnipeg Free Press for the June 6th issue. There were two stories and two sets of pictures
all
in
right.
there.
All right. Well, Gina, get on that for us and get the picture of the white buffalo.
From the Winnipeg Free Press.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our west of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hi, George. This is Michael from Arizona.
Hey, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question. You had a guest on last evening, Mr. Ken Klein.
Yeah, Ken Klein.
Yeah, I was listening very intently, and it seemed to me when he started talking about, you know, us human beings being like fallen angels, I thought he had, somewhere in that conversation, he alluded to the fact that some of us went with the plan of Yahweh, as he referred to him. And if that's the case, I was wondering, you know, whether or not there was a first and or second estate. Could you elaborate on that for me, or do you have any...
I'd rather he do that, because
okay.
he was the best when it comes to that.
Right. I sent him an email. Perhaps he'll be...
He will get back. He got so many emails,
yeah.
It's going to take him a week or two to get back to you.
Okay, great, George. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
You too. But he will get back to you. He's very good about that. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Hi. One of your experts mentioned this guy, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, before. Unfortunately, most people are not familiar with this guy. This guy was actually in a way worse than bin Laden. He slaughtered 50,000 people in Kabul, Afghanistan, when he overran the city. He was a creature of Pakistan. He got huge amounts of weapons from the CIA, it's true, because Pakistan allowed us only to send all of our aid through Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and his Hizbi Islamic group. The guy that defeated the Soviets, Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was murdered by al-Qaeda, actually had to buy some of the weapons, and he's the guy that did the fighting.
Yeah, but then he was the one who was killed when a bomb camera blew up, right?
Yes, exactly. He was murdered just before 9/11 because they had to kill him because he was going to overthrow the Taliban.
Yes.
Hekmatyar was a Soviet agent. I'm familiar with people from Afghanistan, with the Afghan ambassador here. I dealt with him in the past. And this guy is one of the worst people in the world. He is much more, he's actually more dangerous than bin Laden. He's under, you know, the radar, but he was one of the greatest mass murderers. He shelled Kabul. He leveled the place. And he was a creature of Pakistan, and the Pakistan ISI is still funding this guy. And Pakistan is an absolute menace. And this guy, Rahman and Hekmatyar, are obviously buddies. And this guy is really dangerous, and you better keep an eye on this guy. And we're in trouble with this guy. They've let this guy slip under the radar.
On purpose, probably?
No, because of incompetence. There's a lot of times they're just stupid. They're just really stupid.
Gosh.
He is the number one criminal in Afghanistan. They hate this guy, but he's still being helped by Pakistan. Pakistan has designs on Afghanistan. They're trying to take over that country. They've ruined Afghanistan. The Afghans were never very religious. They were not fanatics over there. But Pakistan is a much larger country, much more powerful, and they're sending these people across the border and slaughtering Afghans in large numbers again. And we're going to have to face the fact that Pakistan is an enemy. We should never, ever, never have formed an alliance with Pakistan. We should have gone in with India. Pakistan is the source of really a large part of this trouble. And by the way, so is, of course, Iran, which was, you know, that goes back to Jimmy Carter overthrowing the Shah. But unfortunately, most Americans don't have time. They're ignorant of this. And Pakistan is an enemy. It's been an enemy all along.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
We have to bite the bullet on this stuff. And if we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs while the Iranians are building nuclear bombs, what are we waiting for? It's like 1938.
Look how much time we've waited since we brought this up.
Look, 1938, we gave Hitler a year. 50 million people died because they gave him a year. The German army was going to kill Hitler if the Czechs had fought. Instead, they betrayed the Czechs. They betrayed them by giving up the Sudetenland. And now they want to do the same thing with Israel.
All right.
Same thing.
We'll be back in a moment. Thanks. Appreciate all your open line phone calls. Thank you, Peter Lantz, running around out there at the airport. And you, Richard C. Hoagland, you're right again. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.